This is WHYY's Morning Edition. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Lynn. It's 5:44. Pennsylvania has 5,600 miles of dead waterways polluted by the state's coal mining industry. Cleaning up these rivers and streams would cost millions of dollars. This morning, WHYY Susan Phillips speaks with Philadelphia filmmaker Ben Colina, who just produced a documentary that looks at how one river in the western part of the state was brought back to life.
Hi, Ben. Welcome to WHYY.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Susan.
So your new documentary, A River Reborn, focuses on the Little Connemaw River and how coal mining ruined it. Tell us, first off, where is this river?
Sure. Little Connemaw is about, I'd say, 10 or 15 miles outside of Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And I think some people might know of this river, not by name, but from the Great Johnstown Flood, which was maybe the largest man-made natural disaster of its kind when it happened in the late 1800s.
Interesting. So it's the same river involved in that flood.
Yeah.
It also suffered from acid mine drainage, a huge problem in Pennsylvania's coal country. You know, I've seen these rivers. The water is deep orange and stinks like sulfur, and nothing survives. They're dead rivers. So let's take a listen to Rick Orris. He's featured in your film as someone who grew up along the Little Connemaw.
When I was a little child, I could fish the little creeks when I was 5 or 6. But by the time I was 10, all the fish were gone. The pollution had gotten so bad.
One of the things that's so interesting to me about this story is it's in many ways, it's a bit of a disaster story, but it's also really a kind of a hopeful story, and it points to solutions, which I think is so important. But, you know, acid mine drainage, in a lot of cases, in most cases, is a result of mines that were abandoned before the Clean Water Act was passed. Because up until that time, you could basically, you know, mine for coal or for anything else, really. And just when you were done, or you decided you couldn't extract any more resources, you could just walk away. And so it's, you know, it's not too hard to kind of imagine how that works. You know, you can just kind of picture a hole in the ground that fills up with water and overflows. And as it overflows, it carries out all those heavy metals, which increase the concentration in those rivers to a level that where they can't support life.
The solution that you talk about in your film was a multi-million-dollar project. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, it is really expensive. This is not a simple solution. It looks like a, you know, enormous above ground pool, you know, where you're basically mixing into that water lime and other kinds of, you know, neutralizing elements to get that water back to a healthy level so you can discharge it once again into the streams. And so you're basically just like, you know, if you have a water filter in your house, it's kind of like that.
Just to be clear, this cleanup process has to happen in perpetuity, right? It's forever.
Yeah. You know, I think I would hope that at some point we figure out some way to kind of move beyond that. But at this point, I don't see that on the horizon. So it's a big commitment.
So you've done a lot of films for PBS on global climate change. What made you turn to such a local story?
You know, there's just a real sadness to the fact that people turn their back on these rivers that are actually just these gorgeous places that should be full of life. And so when I found this story, I thought, you know, here's a chance to talk about a story where there's actually a hopeful outcome. We need to focus on that more generally in our own storytelling, the stories we tell ourselves, because it's easy to get really, really desperate about, you know, climate and environment related issues amongst many other issues these days. But we have to remind ourselves that, you know, when we decide that something's worth tackling and fixing, like, we have incredible capacity to do that.
Yeah, covering the environment can be pretty depressing.
Yeah.
Another question I have is, you know, coal mining has been on a rapid decline over the past decades. But right now, what we're seeing is a new full steam ahead push for renewables like solar, wind, electric cars. Do you think in the future we'll be dealing with environmental destruction from any of these sources that we either haven't thought about or at least we're not talking about?
Great question. And it's one that I think more and more about. There's no doubt that we have to move very quickly to sources of energy that do not produce greenhouse gases. But electric cars require batteries that the lithium that needs to go into those batteries and the other metals are incredibly toxic as well. And even just finding those metals in order to bring those technologies to scale requires a massive amount of extraction. We can't just ignore the fact that all of these forms of power and electricity take resources, and those resources, you know, will require a certain amount of foresight in terms of how we deal with them, how we extract them, how we, you know, recycle them, or whatever we do, or else we will be looking at a whole other set of problems 100 years from now or sooner.
Right, exactly. Thanks for talking with us, Ben.
Sure. Happy to. Thanks for having me.